There's more than a touch of irony in the idea of a self-help author's conference. Now, I could see reading a self-help book about how to write a self-help book, but the idea of a self-help author's conference, well, borders on the surreal. Yet, they do exist. Jessica Lamb Shapiro actually attended one of these conferences with her father, a child psychologist who writes parenting books. Lamb Shapiro wrote about her experience for the September 2005 issue of the Believer magazine. Her story is called, "We Need Heart-Touching, Soul-Penetrating Stories." The main attraction at the Self-Help Writers Conference was Mark Victor Hansen, the co-creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Jessica Lamb Shapiro told Anne Strainchamps that Hansen's speeches involved a lot of audience participation.
Say, I'm a powerful person, and we would all, 600 people would go, I'm a powerful person. You know, that's exactly what it was like. At one point, he told us to draw a smiley face on the tip of the index finger of the person sitting to our left. There was a man sitting on my left who was a total stranger. I didn't know him. He'd actually been crying a little bit earlier. I really didn't want to grab his hand and draw on his finger, but, you know, I was in sort of predicament because Mark Victor Hansen had told me to do it, and I didn't want to seem rude. But on the other hand, I really didn't want to touch him. So this is that sort of thing. I mean, the level of absurd, you know, task that we were engaged in, yeah, I don't know if I can really describe to you how strange it was.
Why were you supposed to draw a smiley face on the person next to you's finger?
It was part of, you know, the happy feeling, the positive feeling. I mean, you know, so much of the self-help movement is, you know, just feeling good about yourself and believing in yourself. So I think he was talking about, you know, visualizing yourself being successful writing these books. Visualize yourself being very rich. Visualize yourself being very happy on a yacht. So, you know, the smiley face was just sort of a physical reinforcement of that idea.
One of the things I found interesting in your description of the weekend was not just how much emphasis there was on feel good and self-esteem, because I figured, you know, you get a bunch of people who want to write self-help books together, and that's certainly going to be there, but how much emphasis there was on selling.
Yeah, I think some people were disappointed by that aspect of it. I don't believe that he paid the lecturers. I'm not completely sure about that, but, you know, he had his own products to sell, which were the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and also he does personal mentoring, which he was offering for sale. I think he's also got, you know, tapes that you can listen to in your car. I mean, sort of like any possible media about success he has and can be bought from him. And then all of his lecturers also had things that they were selling. You know, one of them was in advertising. So one of them was saying how to promote yourself. Another one was about selling your books on the web. So, you know, all these mini lectures, they had all written books about it. And then when you went to the lecture, they would give you some content, but they'd also kind of give you a teaser of information that they were not telling you in order to encourage you to buy their book on that subject. So, and, you know, people had spent, the lecture was $1,000 plus the hotel fees and the travel, so I don't think people were really expecting to spend more money once they got there.
I guess maybe this is very naive of me, but I would have thought that given the topic, self-help and self-improvement, people might feel a little bit odd encouraging other people to really go for the bucks, because there's lots of encouragement to, you know, not just write a self-help book, but think about how to sell it, how to market it, you know, make as much money as you possibly can.
It was really more about marketing than it was about content. I mean, you mentioned that Mark Victor Hansen, you wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. We didn't actually write them. He authored them. He made this very interesting distinction between an author and a writer. An author is somebody who comes up with an idea and markets it and sells it, you know, and is sort of responsible for that idea and its execution. You know, a writer is the person who actually sits down and writes the words that you see on the page. So the Chicken Soup for the Soul series is a collection of inspirational stories. I believe they're sent in by some people. I'm not sure if any of them are paid or not.
Wait, so those books that have made a gazillion dollars, Mark Victor Hansen didn't actually write, and the people who did do the writing didn't necessarily get paid?
That's exactly correct, yeah. Yeah, I guess you've never looked at one. They're very short stories, you know, page stories. My father had no legs, but he got some prosthetic ones and learned to walk. You know, it's a very inspirational story. It's very much like ones 100 years ago in the Victorian age, you know, sort of people starting at the bottom, rising to the top. There was a story about O.J. Simpson as a kid watching his football hero and, you know, how he later went on to pro football fame. Unfortunately, that was the first Chicken Soup book, and it was published the year before the murder trial. So it sort of changed the connotation a little bit a year later.
he's published a lot of these things, right? There's some weird ones. What are some of the more bizarre chicken soups? Sort of like he's tried every possible variation he can think of.
Yeah, my friend and I were in a bookstore the other day. We saw Chicken Soup for the Nature Lover Soul. We decided that was a little bit redundant. Abused Teenager, Expectant Mother, I believe, NASCAR Soul, The Dentist Soul. You know, pretty much any, I mean, it's a great idea because it's limitless. I mean, you know, anything that anybody would ever think to do,
there can be a chicken soup for them.
And that soul can be talked to.
Over the course of the weekend, how did other people respond to Mark Victor Hansen's presentation?
I would say that the majority of people loved it. I mean, one of the reasons that his lectures were so intense and so much like revivals was the level of audience participation. People were really cheering. They were giving him standing ovations. People were crying. I'm not exaggerating. People were actually crying. You know, it was really kind of wild. It was like being at a rock concert, you know? It was a very funny thing. And for me, I didn't know much about him. So, you know, it was really surprising, sort of the level of cult-like devotion that he inspired. And after we got out of the first lecture, which was 2 hours, which is actually fairly long to sit and listen to someone speak, especially if you're not used to it, you know, you're not in college or something, you know, people sort of burst out of the doors and they were calling back home on their cell phones. They were talking about how happy they were. They were so inspired. You know, it was such an honor to hear him speak. So, you know, I'd say like 80 or 90% of the people were absolutely thrilled. That was in the very beginning of the conference. Towards the end of the second day, you know, a lot of people were starting to complain about how many times they'd been offered something, you know, that they could buy, books, products, management systems. A lot of them were mentoring systems. And we're talking like a lot of money, like $25,000 to be mentored personally by Mark Victor Hansen. I think he would call you every week, you know, have a conference call with him and his two top advisors. So, you know, it was impossible for people not to be aware of how much was being offered to them and how much money was being asked. You know, obviously they didn't have to buy it, but, you know, it was pretty clear that we were being given a sales pitch by the end.
What are the kinds of self-help things all these people want to write? What kind of help would they like to give people?
Well, the funny thing about self-help is that it's pretty much based on personal expertise. So anything that you're good at, you can tell somebody else how to do. So I met a woman who was very good at keeping her house clean. She also lived in Celebration, Florida, which, if you don't know, is the Disney World town that mm-hmm. they've built. And she loved Disney, and she had modeled this book idea on sort of what she called the principles of Disney. And she was basically a housewife, and she had modeled her housekeeping techniques on Disney. So she remembered that Disney had an opening time, and she was so excited to go into the Disney World theme park, you know, at the opening time, and everything was very fresh and clean. So she wanted to recreate that experience in her own home for her children. So she would get up very early, she would vacuum everything, and she would straighten the pillows, and it would sort of be like, yay, the house is open, you know, for the morning. And so she was sort of using those techniques. I know it doesn't sound that exciting, but I personally would be very excited to come wake up and find my house cleaned.
Just as long as I didn't have to do it.
Yeah, exactly, by someone else, maybe her. You know, so that, and that was her expertise, and that was what she was writing a book on. You know, and who's to say that that would not be helpful for some people?
Did you wind up feeling sorry for any of these people? Because I guess I'm just thinking the market is already inundated with self-help books, and yet here in this one conference were 600 people who want nothing else but to write their own self-help books. Don't their dreams seem kind of unrealistic?
Their dreams do seem unrealistic, and I think probably are unrealistic. But I didn't necessarily feel sorry for them, because by the end of the weekend, I wasn't so sure that what they were there for was to actually write a self-help book and to actually sell a self-help book. People seemed so energized just by being around other people and having all these exciting ideas and really just the hopefulness. I mean, in a way, the conference did kind of mirror what a self-help book does, which is to get you really, really excited and hopeful about something without actually delivering any real content. You know, so this woman that I'm speaking about, the Disney woman, you know, she was really happy and she was very excited. So it was hard to feel sorry for her because, you know, she was having a good time. And in a way, she seemed to be getting what she wanted, which was inspiration. And that's what's interesting is that, you know, inspiration and actual success are not necessarily the same thing.
Hmm. So what conclusions did you come to at the end of this experience about self-help books and human nature?
It's a big question. You know, I don't know that I really did come to any conclusions. I think, if anything, I walked away with more questions. Once I started doing the research into the history of self-help books, you know, the whole topic just opened up. It became clear that people are obviously compelled to make themselves better. People obviously look to other people for advice. Everybody's always comparing themselves to others, you know, and I really don't know how successful that is. I mean, if people really do listen to other people's advice, if they really can change based on someone else's idea, you know, I think ultimately everybody is capable of coming up with a system for themselves. There's nothing in a self-help book that's not sort of common sense. You know, if you look at something like Dale Carnegie's How to Make Friends and Influence People, everything in that book is common sense. You know, it's like, listen to people, look them in the eye. You know, it's not really rocket science. So it was rather curious to me after a while why it was that everybody turns to somebody else to, you know, learn things that they essentially probably already know.
What did your father think of the conference?
He hated it. I mean, I liked it much more than he did. You know, I think he had much more of a personal stake in it. He was one of those authors who was going to figure out how to write and sell a self-help book, and he didn't really come away with that. He didn't really want inspiration. He didn't really want hope. You know, he's a very dedicated, talented writer, so, you know, he really wanted more content. And he did end up asking for his money back, and they did give him his money back, to their credit.
Jessica Lam Shapiro is the author of a story called We Need Heart-Touching, Soul-Penetrating Stories. It appears in the September 2005 issue of The Believer magazine. Lam Shapiro spoke with Anne Strainchamps.